Today on Real Radio.
See, in my carnality, I think about that stuff when the weight of it all is you and I will shed these bodies of sin as we know them, and they will be fit for the eternal state, the very presence of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, the opening words of chapter 3 reveal a theme that's pretty much common throughout John's writings, and that theme? Love. Now, not just any kind of love, but divine love, the kind of love that comes from the Father and that identifies us, you and me, as His sons and daughters. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called A Fellowship of Love.
People are bruised, people are broken, and then, you know, you earn my love. You earn it. Jump through the hoops. Christians do this. Christians who are even engaged to other Christians. Jump through the hoop. Jump to her. That's terrible. That Christian who's being demanded to jump through the hoop ought to say to that hoop commander, trust God, will ya? Just trust the Lord. I'm not jumping through any more hoops. You trust the Lord. See, we've got this thing. Listen, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's have them clean up their act and then I'll die for them. He could have said that. Where would we have been tonight? While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. That's love, friend. Unqualified. Man, that's love. God's love. While we were yet sinners. Maybe that's why God honors so much the family. When you're a little kid or you're even your teenager, when they blow it, you're upset with them. But man, you'd never throw them out of the house. You might spank them. You might ground them. You might take the car keys away. You might whatever. But you know what? They're still your kid. Nothing's going to change that. We're in the family. Considering the greatness of His love, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. This is a wonderful word, bestow. It implies that a king takes his robe off and puts it on the little pauper in front of him that occupies his kingdom. He takes his robe, steps off his throne, goes down the steps, and veils or puts the mantle of His glory on the little poor pauper who lives in His kingdom, and he is now brought into the family of the King. God has bestowed this love. I wonder if angels ever get jealous. I bet they do, in an angel kind of way. You got to be careful there, you know. He's blessed us. Behold what manner. I love that. I hope you mark it in your Bible. What kind of out of this world love has the Father bestowed upon us? Man, that's comforting. That's exciting. I like that. The next thing that we see here is looking into the love of God, considering its greatness, also appreciating its generosity. What do I mean by that? Well, he goes on. He says that we should be called the children of God. Do we have any right to be called the children of God? No. But God calls us His children, brings us into the family, that we have been given this wonderful generosity. I think that we need to work on appreciating that. It's almost maybe like a kid who's born into a family with, as we would say, the silver spoon. Is that the right word? Born with the silver spoon in their mouth? Last night, some of us had a wonderful time. I tell you something, I don't go there enough. And I need to try to go more, but we went to the prison and ministered to the inmates there. Met a wonderful man last night, born again, and he's in for life. He's not coming out. He killed a man, and you would never know it. You look at this guy, it's just amazing. But I got to tell you something, man. We got done with the message, and you never quite know exactly what's going to go on there because it's open. It's open chapel. Anybody can come, and people do. And this one guy, he was probably 6'4", about 350, 375. He came up to me. And he had such a deep low voice, I didn't understand a word he said. But he grabbed me. And you know what? I think when he was holding me, I think his elbows were almost touched. I'm just like, this little man. And it was the most amazing thing. I was like, in his chest, just. And he said, "Praise the Lord." And he walked out. It was so amazing. And it's just so precious because you know what? These guys, when you say, "Let's turn in our Bibles," you know what they do? Amen. You just mentioned the word Bible. Amen. We're going to talk tonight about the power of God. Amen. Hallelujah. It's like, man, give me some Levi's and a blue shirt and let me hang out here for a while, you know? And then there's guys in the back and they're sitting there like this. And you see God working on them. We watched this last night. We had 8 guys accept Christ last night. And man, let me tell you, the message I give there, I would never give exactly in here. You'd talk a little different to those guys. You know, so, I mean, you give them the truth, but you'd package it in a different package. Man, I said, if there's anybody, and I made it like, we're not playing around here. Now. You want to accept Christ? You know, be a man. I'm not going to say what I said. Anyway, man, these guys. I mean, it was like, you know, maybe, kind of. Oh, man, they were like this. Like reaching out a hand, like throw me a life raft, will you? And you might say, well, they're in prison. Maybe they're trying to put that on their record. Hey, some of these guys are going nowhere. Did you know the largest AIDS unit or the largest population of AIDS patients in the California prison system? Do you know where they are? Do you know where they're held? About 2 miles from here. Is that even? No, golly, closer than that. Did you know that? Yeah, 2 blocks down the street. The largest population, if you have AIDS in the California prison system, you're sent to Chino to die. I tell you, those who have given their hearts to Christ, they appreciate him and his love. And they appreciate his generosity. The next thing that we look at is that we need to be understanding its uniqueness. For crying out loud. I wish that meant something spiritually. I just wanted to say it. For crying out loud, we are Christians. Yeah, yeah. The creator of the universe loves us. Uh-huh. He died for us. Thank you. Do you know that you can scour the earth to and fro? You can spend the rest of your life, and some people have, trying to find real meaning and real purpose, and to the most staunch critic still, do you know what the most reasonable faith is that they say in the world? There are people who, they're not Christians, and they've examined comparative religions. And they say, well, you know, I'm not a Christian, but Christianity makes more sense to me than all the others. It's the only one with a loving God. That makes sense. He's holy, he's loving, and he requires justice. So, according to his story, he sent his son to redeem mankind. Makes sense. Makes sense in business, makes sense in court, makes sense in life. Makes sense. But we as Christians, do we understand the uniqueness of our God? We've got a Bible who says, and he's constantly telling us, I am in love with you, child of God. That's what he's telling us. Verse 1 of this chapter tells us what we are. We're children of God. The uniqueness of that is incredible. It's fantastic. The second thing that we see tonight is what we will be like. This is fun. Verse 1 says who we are. Verse 2 says what we'll be like. Look at it with me. Waiting for the love of God. Now, Jack, wait a minute. I thought he loved us. He does love us. But there's going to be a fulfillment. There's going to be a culmination of it. You ever been in love? Maybe there's a remote love. Not a remote, but you know, you're separated by distance. And so there's notes sent or there's flowers sent. And every little arrival or every little thing is like is an announcement, a token, you know, and it's, ooh. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a seal into our hearts until he comes for us. Does he love us? Oh, absolutely. He loved us before we were born. He loves us now, and he's going to love us throughout all eternity. The cool thing is, once we leave this place, there won't be anything in between us and him when he comes to love on us. Now, I don't know what picture that generates in your mind, but it's going to be great. And we need to think about that. Waiting for the love of God. Why? He will transform us. We will be transformed. He's going to change us. Those things that plague us and the things of this world, he's going to wash away completely. We're going to be transformed. He says, verse 2, beloved, now we are the children of God. That's a fact. You're as much of a child of God right now as you ever will be. That's a fact. Positionally, you're his. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, or some translations say be like, but we know that when he is revealed, that is when the Lord descends into the atmosphere for the rapture of the church, it says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the first thing we see here is, beloved, now we are children of God. Positionally. The second thing that we see here is that our glory awaits us. Now, this almost sounds kind of funny to talk about, but we are bound for glory. You know the old song, this train is bound for glory. You know this train. Well, it's talking about us. I heard a song not too long ago. I don't know when he did it and how old it is, and maybe I'm bringing up a song that he did a zillion years ago, but you know the old rock and roll maniac, Rod Stewart? Rod Stewart, I heard on the radio on the Oldies channel, singing this song that Jesus is coming and he's picking up passengers from coast to coast and he's going to glory and, you know, we're going to get ready to go with him. And it was a wonderful spiritual song. I have no idea what Rod Stewart believes, but it's a great song. You know, we're bound for glory. Now listen to this. The scripture teaches us that we are going to be in some extreme likeness changed into a glorified state, much like Jesus Christ was when he rose from the dead. Now, our glory awaits us. I want you to consider a couple of verses here. And you know this verse well here. Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship, our politics is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. Are you eagerly waiting? If you're not, you're goofing up, you're sinning, you're messed up. Something's wrong. You and I should be eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Wow, this is an image projection, or like a reflection. You look into a water and you see yourself in still water. It doesn't mean you're going to be God. We talked about that on Sunday. You're not going to be a God, but his greatness is going to be reflected in you. Again, I hate to just belabor this, but I just love this. Moses is in the presence of God. It's so cool. 40 days, 40 nights, no food. Somehow God fed him. Somehow, I think he was in some kind of a eternal state. There was no even concept of food. There wasn't no concept of time. He never got hungry. He never got thirsty. Why? Because as he was in the presence of the Lord, he was in eternity where the Lord dwells. How did the eternity visit Mount Sinai? That's something that I want to find out when I get up there. Lord, how'd you do that? I want to know. Moses, you know, you read the account carefully. Moses has Joshua. and 70 elders. They lead the people. They go toward the mountain. Then the 70 elders stay. Stay there, you guys. Okay, we'll stay right here. Then Joshua and Moses go even closer to the base of the mountain. Moses turns to Joshua, and he probably said, well, I'll see you, you know, when we're done. I'll be right back. Joshua is alone. Aaron, yeah, that nut, he's back there with the people, you know. Hey, what do you guys want to do? Aaron's with the people. Joshua, he's with nobody. He's standing at the base of the mountain. Up goes Moses. See ya! Fifth day. Gee whiz. What's going on up there? 13th day. 25th day. 39th day. The morning of the 40th day. What did Joshua know? That guy, he's something. Moses comes down finally out of the mountaintop. He's got a bag over his head because he realizes he's been in the presence of God and he's glowing. And so the people, not to see the glory of God fleeting from Moses' appearance, he veils himself and comes down the mountain with a hood on his head. What's Joshua thinking? Are you all right? What did he say? Mo, is that you or what? What is this? And I wonder, I don't know this. It doesn't say. Did Moses kind of look? Did he just... You know, you better keep that covered up because it's fading and that's awesome, but you know, the people are going to wig out when they see the glory depart. They're going to think you've lost all your influence and stuff. I don't know. But they go back to the camp, and of course, you know the story. It was a horrible, horrible time. The people were all messed up in sin, and here's this mountaintop experience, and Moses comes down among this stuff. He was in the presence of God in the eternal state. That's where we're going. Peter, James, and John viewed on Mount Hermon that moment of transfiguration of Christ. We are going to be transformed. I'm excited about that. Every day I get older, I get excited about that. Another verse, so exciting. Behold, he's begging us. Look at this. I'm going to tell you a mystery, something that has always been true, but now it's time to be revealed. Remember, that's what that word means. We shall not all sleep or die. The word is die. Sleep, speaking of the body, not the soul, the body. We shall not all die. For the believer, it's always talked about the body looking as it's sleeping. But we shall all be changed. That's a great verse to hang over a children's ministry room. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. My daughter babysits on Wednesdays the women's ministry kids with other people. They're babysitting. How was your day today? She goes, smelly. Well, man, I don't know about you, but I'm more careful now as I get older. The colognes I buy, how strong are they? Is this industrial strength cologne? If it's strong, I'll take a six pack. Why? We need it. We're growing older, but we shall not all die. We shall be changed if we are alive when the Lord comes back. He says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. That's concerning the church, by the way. The last trumpet regarding the church. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Paul believed that he was going to be living. He said, the dead's going to rise and we'll be changed. Lives are going to be changed. Radical. Awesome. The body that you and I have, listen, we're Christians. We believe in the Bible. If we die before Christ comes, we're going to be resurrected. If we are alive when he comes, we're going to be transformed. Metamorphosis, metamorpho in the Greek. We are going to be changed. This body, I mean, see this? This is of this earth, but it's going to be reconstituted somehow in a molecular change. And it's going to be fit for heaven. I don't understand it. It's awesome. But listen, and we'll be done. When Jesus rose from the dead, you could touch him. When Jesus rose from the dead, he ate. When Jesus rose from the dead, he could walk through walls. That's weird. There's an account where the room is all shut up and closed down tight. Doors are locked, windows are shut, and then Jesus appears before them. We don't know what we'll be like, but we know this, that when he comes, we will be like him. Now, your imagination might go with you on that. When we're resurrected, we will be resurrected. Will we all look like Ricky Martin if we're guys? Well, now, wait a minute. Let's think about this now. And people have written books on this. What will I look like in the resurrection? Well, I hope to be 20 pounds less in the resurrection. I hope I lose something in the transformation. See, in my carnality, I think about that stuff. When the weight of it all is you and I will shed these bodies of sin as we know them, and they will be fit for the eternal state, the very presence of God. And our sin nature, listen, no one's ever experienced this before. It will be something of eternity. The believer will, for all eternity, not be subject to the sin nature. Well, you know, Lucifer was great up in heaven, but then he got goofy and sinned and he became Satan and got thrown out of heaven. What if that happens to me of 40 billion light years from now? That's not going to happen to you. It won't happen to you. That's not going to be possible. I can't explain it. It's just theologically correct. We are going to be transformed. We're going to be altogether different. And yet we'll have all memory of the right stuff. Remember the painful, tearful things of old will be washed away. Someone's going to ask me after the service, so I'll say it now. Will I know you in heaven? And I love what J. Vernon McGee says. I don't think you'll be any more stupider there than you are here. The scripture says we will know even as we are known. As God knows us, we're going to know. We'll know each other. And you know what? No one's going to have a watch on. There's no big hourglass. Eternal. That's where we're going.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the two opening verses of 1 John chapter 3. The title, A Fellowship of Love. A Fellowship of Love, part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through the three New Testament letters written by the one who often identified himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, a phrase that reveals the insight that that apostle indeed had to true divine love. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't checked out our realradioactive.org website lately, why not pay us a visit when you get a chance? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio. You can email your questions to Ask Pastor Jack. You can learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month and a whole lot more. But you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. You're going to like this. Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can subscribe to and receive via email. More and more these days, Real Radio listeners are subscribing and writing in, letting us know how Words to the Wise is playing a key role in their growth and knowledge of Scripture. Here's how one Words to the Wise subscriber recently expressed his appreciation. I'm once again very blessed by Pastor Jack's Words to the Wise devotional. I feel like the Lord spoke to me directly. Amen. Now that comes from Joseph, and he's a subscriber to Pastor Jack's Words to the Wise devotional. And you can too. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click the button on the right that says Devotional to subscribe to Words to the Wise. We hope you'll do that right away. Realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.